welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in to the broadcast again this week. We're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 8, verse number 22. The scripture says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him, and asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored, and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away into to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town." And so once again, and here as we saw in previous chapters about how the Lord healed the deaf and mute man, or the man that had he was deaf and had the speech impediment. The Lord goes through some things, and as he did with that deaf man, putting his fingers in his ears and spitting and touching his tongue and says, be opened. We see the Lord dealing with this man in Bethsaida, that he takes him out of the town. I thought that led him by the hand, led him out of the town. That's interesting. And he spit on his eyes. And so the Lord didn't make clay this time. Put his hands upon him and said, how's that? Can you see? And he said, well, I can see men as trees walking. So evidently there were those that walked out of the town with him, wasn't there? And he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And so the Lord puts his hands back on him, makes him look up. And he was restored and said, I can see every man clearly now. And so the Lord heals this man. And no doubt he says, I see men as trees. And now he says, I see men clearly. He sent him away into his house saying, don't go into the town or tell it to any in the town. Isn't that something, that the Lord took the man out of the town? And then he sends the man to his house and he says, don't go into the town and don't tell it to anybody in the town. Wonder why that is. Bethsaida. Is Bethsaida one of those cities that the Lord condemns? Is there a doubt of our Lord there in Bethsaida? Very interesting. How about you? Do you doubt the Lord, or do you receive him? Do you want to make the Lord something else, something that he's not? Do you have terms upon which you'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't put terms on the Lord, and don't look to box the Lord in a corner. He takes the man out of Bethsaida, and he tells the man, don't go into the city, and don't tell it to anybody in the town. Very interesting. He goes on to say in verse number 27, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way he asked his disciples unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias or Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. A wondrous passage, a passage that speaks indeed to all of us. The Lord asking the disciples, who does the world say that I am? So, well, some think you're John the Baptist. They remember John and before Herod put him to death, and they think that your power is like unto his power, your preaching is like unto his preaching. Of course, the power of the Lord was greater because John did no miracle, but the Lord Jesus healed and did miracles. So who does the world say that I am? Well, some of them say that you're Elijah. That Elijah is back. Remember, Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind unto the Lord. He was like Enoch. He was translated rather than dying. Others are saying, well, you've got to be one of the prophets. You've got to be one of the prophets by the wondrous words that you've spoken. But then the Lord brings it down personal. He asks the disciples, who does the world say that I am? And now he brings it on down personal. He says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say? And Brother Peter, we look at Brother Peter and the Lord dealing with him in his life and the struggles that Peter has. But certainly Peter's commended and blessed of the Lord to know this answer. Peter answered and saith unto him, Peter's quick to answer, I believe. He doesn't take his time in answering, but he's quick to answer, and he says, you are the Christ. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. Thou art the Redeemer. Thou art the Deliverer. You're the one. You're the one promised from the Father. You are the Son of God. You are the Savior. That's what Peter's declaring in that. And listen how the Lord, what the Lord says. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. The Lord is not looking for fame, but he came to accomplish that which the Father gave him to do. And as it is with the miracles, the man that he just healed in Bethsaida that we read about, he says, don't go tell anybody, just go home. And the thing is, a man that is blind, it's going to be known that he's blind. And then when he comes seeing, it's going to be known. In time, it's not going to be helped, but that he tell. His family will ask him, how have you got your sight back? His neighbors and his kin, his friends, they'll see that he has his sight and they'll ask him and it'll go forth abroad. But the Lord in his ministry didn't want anything about, it didn't seek accolades of men, and nor did he seek fame by what he could do. But what the Lord has done, as it's told in the scriptures, he's magnified his word above all his name. The Lord's design and way is that men would hear his word. Hear what he says. That men would hear what the Lord says. And so at this time he charged them that they should tell no man of him. There's going to come a time when the Lord's going to tell his disciples, tell men of me. Teach them about the gospel. Teach them about me. But at this time in the day of his ministry, he says, don't tell anybody. You've been blessed to know that I am the Savior. But don't tell anybody yet. Verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. So now, Peter has declared, and the disciples, the apostles agree, indeed, that he is the Christ. He's a Redeemer. But the thing is, they're looking at the Lord Jesus as being a Redeemer that's going to bring a redemption of the nation immediately. They're looking for a fighter. They're looking for a conquering Savior. They're looking for Messiah in the old scriptures that's going to restore Israel. And they think that they're right there. They think that Jesus is going to do such a thing. That he's going to rise up and rebel and they believe justly so against the Roman government and kick out Rome and restore the glory of the nation. That's what they believe. They've missed it in the scriptures about what Isaiah said, that the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Lamb of God would come first to be a Savior for sins. They missed that. They missed that. Peter, when the Lord, they knowing that he is the Christ, they believe that. But they believe he's going to be an immediate Redeemer of the, and rescuer and deliverer, Messiah of the nation. And so, with the knowledge that they have that he is Christ, but their misunderstanding in it, Jesus begins to teach them. He begins to teach them, I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to be rejected of the elders. I'm going to be rejected of the chief priests and of the scribes. They're going to kill me. But after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. And so he begins, they believe that he is the Christ, but they don't understand how he's going to be the Christ. He indeed will rescue Israel. He'll do that one day. He will. He will accomplish that one day. But first, he came the Savior of sinners, Savior of the souls of his people, Savior of sinners, the Son of Man, God having become a man that he might be a redeemer for our sin. These things that the Lord has talked about and we've seen in previous chapters where he says are the issue is our heart and what comes out of our heart. He has come first to deal with that and to save from that and to change that so that sinners might be made whole through him, not only physically, but spiritually and in the heart where the problem is, the salvation of the soul. Well, at this teaching, it says in verse 32, he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, so Peter stands up and says, no, no, Lord, far be it from thee that you will die and suffer these things. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. How about you? Do you want what you want? Or do you desire and want what our Lord has declared? Peter says, far be it from thee, Lord. And the Lord Jesus says unto his disciple, our brother that he loves, he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Wow. He says, you don't desire the things that be of God. You want what you think is best. Thou savorest the things that be of men. And that's not right, Peter. It's of God that I come and be rejected. It's of God that I suffer many things. It's of God that I be killed, that I be sacrificed. It is of God that I lay down my life for the sheep. It is of God that I fulfill these things. You want the wicked way of man. I want the great salvation of the Lord, the gospel, the fulfilling of what the Father has given me to do. Get thee behind me, Satan. Strong words. What do you think Peter thought when the Lord accused him and told him rightfully so of that? Get thee behind me, Satan. See, Satan is against the salvation of the Lord. But that is indeed what we need. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.